Our God is an awesome God, and this is His house, amen? And in this church, we stand on God's Word. There is no other Word but the Word of God. And I want to encourage you this morning to take your Bibles, if you will, be finding the Old Testament book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3, where God is going to show us how to stand alone with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this text is going to teach us all about. And friends, I believe that there is not a greater lesson in that needs to be learned today than this lesson, standing alone. For the simple fact that every child of Jesus Christ is a twice born person living in a once born world, and that means that you and I, as a child of God, we're going to be up against it most of the time. And so my prayer this morning is that this message will be a blessing to us. And I want to share with you about a man, an ancient Christian, whose name was Athanasius. Now Athanasius was a bold, strong Christian, and he would take stands against what was going on in his world. And other people would say, well, he's arrogant, he's stubborn, he is narrow-minded. The emperor's name was Theodosius. And Theodosius said to Athanasius, Athanasius, the whole world is against you. Athanasius paused for a moment. He thought on what Theodosius had said. And then he said, well, I'll tell you this much, then Athanasius is against the whole world. And friends, we Christians today ought to be standing against what this world is trying to do in the world in which we're living today. I've asked this question several times to you privately and also here publicly. Did you ever think you'd see a day when we would be living in a world where what is taking place today? I just happened to talk to Jimmy Skeen, and he said, if you'd have told me this when you first came in 2019, he'd have said, I never would have believed you. Well, friend, I can hardly believe it either. Can you? I want you to know something this morning. It takes courage to stand alone. And I believe as time moves closer to the rapture of the church, and that is hastening on very quickly, Christians in this world are going to discover more and more it is necessary to learn to stand alone in the day and age in which we're living. Listen to me, as this world grows darker, how much more necessary is it going to be to teach our children and our grandchildren to stand alone with Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, we need to learn to stand alone. And we need to teach our children and our grandchildren what it means to stand with and stand for Jesus Christ. And not out of stubbornness, not out of narrow-mindedness, not out of arrogance. That's not it at all. We must learn to stand alone simply because standing up for our faith in Jesus Christ and standing for what the Bible teaches is the right thing to do. And so we must learn to stand alone, to stand on the principles of God's holy word, and to stand for those things that are true, that are righteous, and that are just and holy altogether. Because these are the things that are going to last throughout all eternity. And this is what God expects His children to do. God expects it of me, and God expects it of you. And so when I come to the pulpit, I'm going to preach the Word of God. And I pray that you'll hear, that God will give you an ear to hear. And if you don't, that's on you. But I'm going to preach what God has told me to preach. And so I want to just share with you this morning from Daniel chapter 3. If you have your Bibles open, please rise to your feet as we read the first 7 verses. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits, in the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we are living in a world such as we have never seen. But it is the time that the Bible speaks of in great detail. Lord, for many Christians, they never thought they'd see these days in their own lifetime. But Father, it is here and it has arrived. Because the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, is hard at work, for he knows, but he has but a short time. And Father, it is going to be very important, and I believe you are already calling your people out. You are calling your people to stand up for what they believe in. Faith was never meant to be comfortable. Faith was meant to be something that we must stand up for and something that we must fight for. And so, Lord, we must remember that as a child of the living God, we are to stand with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we are to stand for the truth of the Bible. And, Lord, we pray that every heart that is here would have an ear to hear and a heart to receive. And, Lord, may your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Now, this is a two-part message. And so we'll finish this message next week, but let me just share with you that we're talking about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down and appease the God of their age. They would not worship that image. And they were thrown into the fire because they would not bend, they would not break, they would not bow. And then we also discover they would not burn. And they came out of that fiery furnace, and we all rejoice in that story, don't we? But brothers and sisters, this is not just simply a story of what God has done. It is a record of what God is doing. And it is not merely a record of what God has said. It is a record of what God is saying to us today. Now, friends, it is highly possible that we will find ourselves very soon in a fiery furnace. Some incendiary circumstances that are beyond our control because of the current political climate and the satanic ideology that is so prevalent in these United States at this present hour. It could mean that before long, we're going to find out that our faith is in the fire. And it's going to be necessary for us, like these young men of old, to stand alone. Now Nebuchadnezzar, as we talk about this, he was an egomaniac. He was a megalomaniac. He was stuffed full of his own self-importance. So great was his ego, so great was his self-worship, that he had an image made of himself. And the Bible tells us that he demanded that everyone would bow down and worship that image. And I want you to just try to picture in your mind this morning that gigantic image out there on the plains of Dura as it stood there like some missile on a launch pad. And I want you to hear the command that was given, that everybody is to bow down and worship that image or else you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. And the Bible tells us that's all they needed. When the band struck up, thousands of people hit the dust, falling down in obeisance before that golden image. But there were three that day who would not bow. And because they stood alone, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, this is not some old-time story. This carries great relevance for us today in this age in which we are living, because Daniel, you see, is a book of prophecy. And in his book, he gives us a picture in the person of Nebuchadnezzar of the coming Antichrist. If you're not aware, there is coming a man who will one day rule the world as Babylon was ruled by Nebuchadnezzar. He will be the devil's Messiah. He is called by several different names in the Word of God. He is called the Beast, the Man of Sin, the Lawless One, the Wicked One, the Antichrist. And all of these are different names, descriptions of one incredibly wicked human being. And that person may be living right now, and they're one day going to rule the world during a period of time that the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. Now, how many of you have heard of a coming tribulation period? Raise your hand this morning. You've heard of it, right? We know what's happening. But friends, I want to share with you that for far too long now, Christians have been saying, well, what does that have to do with me? Now, I don't have to worry about the Antichrist. Because I understand the Bible to teach, when the Christians are taken out of the world at the rapture, then the Antichrist will come. And that's true. I believe that. But listen to what the Apostle John said in 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. Did you get it? Many Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time. And God is simply saying to us, the more you see the spirit of the Antichrist that is in the world, and certainly promotion of the ungodly policies and values of our current political climate, with their great transition agenda moving us toward a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah world, Christians need to wake up and realize we are living very near to the end. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of the Antichrist himself. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, and friends, you and I need to understand, the Bible teaches Christians are not to bow down to the God of this age, nor are Christians to appease those who reject the Bible, nor are Christians to just simply go along with the evil policies just to get along. Christians are not to be tolerant of evil. Christians are to stand against evil. Christians are to stand against those who promote and do evil. And so that just simply means that we're going to have to stand alone. And when we stand with Jesus Christ and learn to stand alone as these boys did, well, just imagine the fury they faced. Just imagine the pressures that they were under. But let's ask this question to help us understand, here with our understanding of how Nebuchadnezzar here in Daniel chapter 3 pictures and stands for the Antichrist. You see, there are a few interesting ways that the Bible teaches. For example, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of himself and told everybody, y'all gonna worship that image. And if y'all don't worship the image, y'all gonna die in a fiery furnace. Well, I want you to write down somewhere Revelation chapter 13. You write it down. Revelation chapter 13, verses 13 to 15. And just let me share with you. Now, this verse is speaking of the coming Antichrist. It's not speaking of Nebuchadnezzar. But this is what the Bible says. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven, this on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Well, Nebuchadnezzar says, I got an image here. And if you don't worship it,
you're going to be killed. Or you mark this down, the Antichrist is coming. And he's going to make an image that's going to be more incredible than the one that Nebuchadnezzar made. And if these people at that time will not worship the image, that they're going to die, they're going to be killed. Well, an interesting use of the number 6 is used here in this chapter. For example, look with me again at Daniel 3:1, and I do pray you have your Bible open. The king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. Well, how many is 60? Well, that's 60. Now you hang on to that number, and the breadth of it was what? 6 cubits. And so now we got 66. And how many pieces of orchestration were in the orchestra? Well, look with me at verse 5. And what time you hear the sound of the cornet, that's 1. Flute, that's 2. Harp, that's 3. Sackbut, that's 4. Psaltery, that's 5. Dulcimer, that's 6. And all through this thing, you're finding the number 666. Well, what is the number of the beast? The Antichrist is going to come. Revelation 13:18 gives us the answer. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Understand, God is saying to us that there was a man named Nebuchadnezzar, and he is a type, a picture, a prophecy of the coming Antichrist. He's an illustration for us. And it's right here in the Word of God so that none of us can dispute it. It's not my opinion, friend. It's what God is saying to us. Amen? And so one day the Antichrist is going to set up his image. And one day he'll use the number 666 to cause universal worship unto him. But in this day and in this age in which we now live, God is saying to us, the spirit of Antichrist is already in this world. There are many Antichrists. And if people in that day must learn to stand alone, how much more must you and I learn to stand alone in the day in which we're living? There's going to be incredible pressure exerted on Christians in the coming days. And we are already seeing the signs of that in America today. And this morning, I just want to outline for you that what Nebuchadnezzar did so long ago to try to get people to conform is what is happening in these United States today. And so the very first thing that he did is he created emotional enticement. Look with me again at verse 5. At what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image. The Babylonian orchestra began to play, and it was incredible music. Now, have you ever stopped to think, what does music do? Music touches the emotions. Music touches the emotions of people. Music is a gift of God. And we use music here in our church. And we got some great musicians. And we use music in our church to worship and to praise God. Now, don't think that the devil didn't know the power of music. Because I'll tell you that Satan is using music today like never before to enforce his diabolical plans upon this world. Satan is a master musician. And I want you to hear how God describes Satan in Ezekiel 28 and 13. This is what God has to say about the devil, about Satan. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. And God is simply telling us that Satan has tabrets of pipes in him. When he speaks, it's like majestic music. And his music can be hideously beautiful or it can have a demonic beat. But it is Satan's tool and he is using music as never before. For example, sometimes when I'm driving around and I come up to a stoplight, someone else pulls up next to me and their car's just reverberating and it's just a beating and they're listening to that stuff called rap music. And it's just full of obscenity. And some people watch and listen to MTV, which is nothing more than visual and musical pornography wed together. And Satan has captured a generation of people through music. And not one of us can deny that there is not emotional enticement in music. Well, that's one of the things that Nebuchadnezzar did. And that's one of the things that are happening not only in these United States, but all around the world. But there's something else that he did. He created an atmosphere of social inducement. Look with me. Daniel states in verses 2 and 3 that everybody was doing it. That's that doctrine of tolerance. Y'all go along to get along. Everybody doing it. And in verse 4, the herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." Listen, everybody's going to be doing it. You be doing it too. And if you do not fall in line, if you do not step in time, if you do not do what you're told to do, you're going to be labeled, you're going to be canceled, you're going to look like an oddball. Friends, do you realize we are moving quickly and almost at the speed of light toward a one world government? The America that we have known and loved for so long is being diluted. It's being absorbed, if you will, into a generation and a globalism that is spurred on by the global gullibility of those who will not stand alone. Though they've chosen to reject God, they've chosen to reject God's word, and they've chosen to stand against what is right. That's why we're living in a world today where they call evil good and good evil. You see, they don't want you to know what's right. And they're teaching not what is right. And during the pandemic, we witnessed an atmosphere of government enforcement. The Bible teaches that there is nothing new under the sun, because Nebuchadnezzar also created an atmosphere of government enforcement. Look with me here at verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, if you're listening this morning, say amen. The government in that day and the government in our day is trying to squeeze everybody into a mold. Now, when you hear these words, diversity, equity, and inclusion, in our world today, these are the three main tenets of critical race theory. You need to know something. You need to be educated. I needed to be educated, and I'm only sharing with you what I've learned. Critical race theory is a Marxist doctrine that teaches that you cannot stand for this and you cannot stand for that. Rather, we must all stand for the same thing. It is a satanic doctrine that teaches and promotes a victim's mentality. It is a doctrine that provides justice for some, but not equal justice for all. And I want you to know what the problem with critical race theory is that critical race theory does not stand for what the Bible stands for. It does not stand for what the cancel woke culture of the liberal left stands for. The Bible doesn't teach that. And the satanic liberal left are saying to Christians and those who will not go along with their great transition agenda, well, if you don't go along, we're going to arrest you. We're going to take you to court. We're going to take away the church's tax-exempt status. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. They just love to puff themselves up and blow like the big bad wolf, don't they? They say, you're in the way of the progress of peace. I want you to hear what the Bible says again. And I want to say something to you. This is not what Pastor Don is saying. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Jesus said, John 16 and 2, in the last days, There's coming a time when those who will kill you will think they do God a service. Did you hear that? In the last days, there's coming a time when those who kill you will think they do God a service. Listen to me. There's an organization called Fundamentalist Anonymous. That is, I was once a member of a Bible-believing church. And they used the term fundamentalist as a sneer. People like Kamala Harris and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez claim Christianity is a form of mind control and nothing but a lie. They claim that Jesus Christ is nothing but a hoax. And they claim when you stand up and you say the Bible says this is wrong and this is right, Brother Derek, this is going to surprise you. You know what they say? Brother Derek, if he stands for what's right and what's wrong, he's just mentally ill. That's what they say. They say Christians is mentally ill. And they claim that. These are people who have rejected God, who have rejected the Bible, who have denied the Christian values the Bible teaches. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we need to get Jesus Christ back in America again today. And we need to stand for Christian values whenever and wherever we can, because that's the day in which we're living today. And I want you to also know something else. There's a fourth thing that he created. Nebuchadnezzar created a culture of spiritual defilement. Look with me at verse 6. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth. Now I want you to learn this about Satan. Satan doesn't want casualties. Satan wants converts. He wants to be worshipped. And the Antichrist, when he comes, he wants to be worshipped. Listen to what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the kind of government enforcement that the Antichrist is bringing. Now you look around today. It's coming sooner than you think. This is the power that the satanic left is clamoring for. Now why do I call them the satanic left? Because they don't stand for what the Bible stands for. It's because they haven't repented, turned right, and gone straight yet. Amen? And what we need to understand is we're not to be against the satanic left. We're to pray for the satanic left. The best thing that could happen is for God to open the gates of hell and to show them what awaits them if they do not repent, in the hopes that they will repent. Listen to me. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And they're not any worse than we were before we came to Christ. Listen to me. Sin is sin. Amen? And hey, before I came to Christ, I was nothing more than a vile sinner. Before I came to Christ, I would be giving my approval to everything they're doing, and so would you. And let us not forget that you and I are capable of committing every sin in the Bible if we're left to ourselves. Thank God the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and restrains us from all evil. Friends, we need to stand up. We need to pray. We need to pray as we've never prayed before, because it's coming sooner than you think. It's what the power that man has always wanted, and man is clamoring for power today. And so this is what you and I, as a child of God, are up against. And you say, well, that's just happening down there in the swamp in Washington. That's not going to happen here in Lebanon, Virginia. I'm going to tell you, wake up. It is happening here in Lebanon, Virginia, in the Bible Belt, in Southwest Virginia. The head of the Democratic Party marched down Main Street carrying a gay pride flag and then stood by the statue in the middle of town and declared that that thing needed to come down. We spoke at a children's rally to keep critical race theory out of our schools, to keep the LGBTQIA+, and they just keep adding letters out of our schools. It's because they're against Christian values. You don't have to be a Republican. You don't have to be a Democrat. It's never been about parties. It's about Christian values and Christian values alone, and we need Christian values in America again today. And if we do not stand up here in our community, we're going to be run over by the swamp in Washington, D.C. And I'm going to tell you, I never thought in all my years as a pastor I'd ever stand in the pulpit and preach the way I have in these last few weeks. My friend, it's not about politics. It's about values. If all it is about politics, well, then we'll just close the book and we'll all go on to hell together. It's about values. It's about what God values. It's about what His Bible teaches. It's about what God says, not about what man says. So don't leave here today and say, Pastor Don said, because Pastor Don don't have anything to say, but Jesus Christ has everything to say. Amen? And so I just want you to know, as Christians, what we're up against. We're up against emotional enticement. We're up against social inducement. We're up against governmental enforcement. We're up against spiritual defilement, and it is in this world today as never before. And so wherever you are today, you're listening online, wherever you are today, this is what is happening in our world today. You know, our school systems aren't what they used to be. I'm looking forward to a day when we go back to school and we honor the Lord our God by saying the Lord's Prayer in school, by having a time of prayer. I'm looking forward to a day when the Ten Commandments go back up in schools. I'm looking for a day when Christian values are taught in our schools. I'm looking forward to a day when our kids are learning about Jesus Christ. You know, when we took prayer out of schools, we brought the policemen in. How's that working for us? We took the Ten Commandments down. We began to live just like all this world I'm describing. Boy, I could preach all day, but I know some of you get hungry about noon. So we've come as far as we can go today. And so I'm just going to finish this message up next week. We're going to be talking next week about the faith they followed. And I want to say to you, the faith they followed is faith you and I need to be following. But for today, know this. As a Christian, you're going to have to learn to stand up. And I know some of you are fearful. You're afraid to go against the flow. And it's all right, because you don't stand in your own strength. You stand with Jesus Christ, and He gives you all the strength you're ever going to need. But you need to stand up. And tomorrow night, the government center, we need to show up and show out, because there's still these elements that want to kill children in the womb. And we spoke about that last week. It's nothing more than murder, and it's all it is. We need to stand for what we believe in. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, I want you to understand you're going to have to make a choice in this world. You're either going to have to stand up with Jesus Christ, you're going to have to stand with Jesus Christ. And friend, if you don't, do you know what you're going to do? You're going to deny Jesus Christ. And you're going to deny your Christian values. The days of a comfortable Christianity, they're over. These are days when you and I are going to have to choose who we will stand with and what we will stand for. And let us pray that all of us Christians who know what the Bible teaches will choose to do what Joshua did in his day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. We will serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Because there's a heaven awaiting. Now, how many of you want to hear those words? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, I'm here to tell you, this is my belief. I believe the Bible teaches if we're going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we better be living what the Bible teaches. Plain and simple. Well, we've come as far as we can go. Now I want you to note, y'all are going to get out about 6 minutes early. Unless we have a revival here today. And I'm going to tell you, it's a matter of life and death. That's what it is. It's a matter of life and death. And if you choose against God, you're choosing death. And if you choose for God, you're choosing life. And I hope that every one of us will choose life. And when I think about that, there may be someone here who's never made a public profession of faith. But Jesus Christ has spoken to your heart this morning. And you know that right now, if you leave here without Him, there's no guarantee you're getting back here. Death is no respecter of persons. It takes the young as well as the old. You need to come to faith in Christ today that you can live for eternity. Now, you may be a Christian who just is having a struggle with these values that are being taught. And you're trying to think, no, it's not happening. Not happening in my world. Not going to happen. Friend, you need to come and pray and get ready for the battle that's coming. You need to be ready to stand. Because these are the days when we must stand. You may be here this morning, you not yet joined this church, but God has spoken to your heart and you know you're to be here. And so you need to come. You need to get that taken care of. And God maybe showed you something else this morning. But this one thing I know because this Bible tells me so. God's word never goes out void. So whether it's this preacher or Brandon or some other preacher, when God's word goes out, God expects you and I to do something with it. He expects us to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving our own selves. So let's stand and let's sing our invitation hymn. And if God has spoken to your heart, you come this morning. You come.